Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everybody. We are so excited to have our special guest today, Josh X. Josh is a 27-year-old single gentleman.
Handsome man.
I have known since he was a little boy. And he teaches weekly in Tulsa at Rhema Bible Training Center at the Healing School.
Yes.
He does missions trips pretty much quarterly, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, I was just in Brazil going back for 3 months here in April, so.
Yeah. So he does quite a lot with missions. And also, he works here at Joe McGee Ministries.
Yes, he does.
I love our Josh. So he is our special guest today. So go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Josh. What we want to talk about is you just started a really unique relationship, very long distance. Tell us about that and how that works and how it's working.
Yeah, so it was a funny story. I went down to Brazil, and we were there for a couple weeks. And while we were at this conference, my uncle, he tells the whole audience, he says, this man is single, and he's looking for the ring.
Yes!
And so I'm there. And so it's funny because I was getting a lot of messages on Instagram after that. And then but I found this one girl. It wasn't one of the girls messaging me. I just found her through different friends and stuff. And so I added her on Instagram, and she responded to one of my stories that I posted on there. And the funny thing is she knew I didn't speak Portuguese, but she sent it in Portuguese because she wanted to see if I would translate it. Because she said, if you will translate it, then I'll know you actually want to talk to me.
That's right. Come on.
So I translated it, and I said, hey, sorry, I don't speak Portuguese. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. And she knew the whole time. She was just so it was funny. Her parents were at that conference, and so they kind of knew about me. But we just started talking through Instagram, and she was just recently here. We had a conference at Rhema, and so she came for that.
Right.
And it's been awesome. But I think that the main thing is that I felt like I was prepared when it happened.
Got it.
So whenever she came into my life, it wasn't like I needed to start preparing right away. It felt like I had already stepped into a place where I was ready for that relationship. And I think that before you enter into something like that, it's really important to prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't like to be single, and yeah, it's hard. I think you realize when you're single, it's not always fun.
It's not fun at all.
It's not fun, but you have to realize that that's a preparation time. There's things for you to do.
Well, and like you mean when you say preparation time, you mean preparing to get healthy so that you go into a relationship whole?
Yeah, not preparing to be with someone, but preparing for you to be a whole person before you enter into a relationship. If I'm going into a relationship already a fractured person, then I'm going to be looking to that person to fix something in me. And when I do that, I set expectations that they can never meet.
That's true.
There's only a wholeness that God himself can put on the inside
of
you.
That's good.
And so, when I'm looking to somebody else, I'm always going to be disappointed.
Right.
So I think you as an individual, if you're a single person looking to be in a relationship, the best thing you can do is focus on you becoming a whole person.
Right.
You being able to stand on your own, being happy with yourself, being able to look in the mirror and say, today I woke up this morning and I'm actually happy to be alive. I'm a happy person.
Good.
And then whenever you enter into a relationship with somebody, you're bringing that to the table. You're not drawing from them. Jesus, the woman at the well in John 4, this woman had five husbands. Mm. And so she had kept going back to this well of men, trying to get more and more from these guys, and it was never enough. It was never going to be enough. And so she eventually, Jesus said, if you knew the gift that was in front of you, if you would drink from me, you'll be never thirst again. Mm. And you'll actually become a fountain for other people. So he's saying once you realize who you are in Christ, then you're not going to be looking to other people to fulfill you, but you're actually going to become a fountain or a source for other people. And so I think when you're entering into a relationship, you're looking to provide something for the other person instead of them drawing.
Thank you, because your spouse is not your happiness guru. You don't marry Bozo the Clown. We've had couples, and I would say, well, they just don't make me happy anymore. That wasn't their job. Their job wasn't to make you happy. You know, buy a dog or something, you know.
But you're right. I mean, most people, and I was guilty of it when I first got married, when I was in my 20s, that I thought my spouse would be the fulfillment of all my dreams and happiness. Yeah. And so, I mean, what is a practical way? Just like, how did you come to that understanding? Because you don't just come out of the gate. You don't hit 18 and that great wealth of knowledge.
It just didn't drop on you somehow.
Yeah, I think it's a process. It was it was failed relationships that taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Things where I, you know, was looking to the other person to make me feel secure or confident, and realizing that they could, you know, when that relationship was gone, what was I left with?
Yeah.
And so I had to realize that there had to be some type of foundation that even if this person wasn't in my life, I was still going to be okay. I was still going to be able to fulfill the call of God on my life or whatever it is I'm called to do without the other person. And so then I, you know, you just kind of have to start imagining yourself as being whole without somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think as a practical way is just being, you know, finding things that you enjoy and doing them. If you have a hobby, if you like music, if you like whatever, you throw yourself into that.
Yeah.
You start enjoying those things. And then when somebody else comes, you're able to add something to it.
Man, that's perfect because, you know, most people get married. The divorce rates really start climbing about the third year into marriage. It takes that long to realize, hey, you're not going to change, are you? No, I was this way when you married me. I'm probably still going to be this way a long time from now. And I used to tell people, you know, when God made Adam, he hadn't been created yet. So God's in the garden with Adam, and he walks every day, and they're talking business. Adam had two things going for him. He had a relationship with God and a job. He had a relationship with God and he had a job. If you don't have a relationship with God, you don't have a job, you don't need a spouse.
Yep.
You don't need a spouse because that's the one person. I used to tell people, you're looking for that one person you want to spend the rest of your life with and give your life away to. I used to tell people, Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. It says, congratulations, you got married. It says, no, it should say, I'm so sorry I heard you got married.
Yep.
Because a marriage is a covenant. If you're not willing to die at that ceremony, you're a half-dead zombie the rest of your life griping about something. No, I want to find that one person I want to spend the rest of my life, give my life to. You know, until death us do part, not until I kill you one. That's not what it says. I want to find one. Hey, God, who is that one person I want to spend the rest of my life with making them happy? That's my job. I want to be a blessing to them. I don't need some. I got you. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. And believe it or not, that is the truth. People say, well, that's fantasy. No, that's biblical. It's the truth.
Well, and I know when I was divorced, you know, typically people jump into another relationship bringing all that baggage.
Mm-hmm.
So that 12-year gap, I had to work on me.
Yep. And one thing I think you have to be careful of is with our society, we're always looking for the painkiller and never looking for the real healing.
Ooh. That's good.
So for me, you know, if you're coming out of a divorce or out of a broken relationship and you're trying to just jump into something, I think you have to ask yourself hard questions and say, am I doing this as a painkiller or is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Because it's easier to jump into another relationship where somebody's giving you affection instead of you having to work on yourself being okay with you.
Yeah, and that's not fair to the other person.
Yeah.
You're putting demands on them they don't have the ability to meet. They're not equipped to do that. They're just another human like you. They got strengths and weaknesses and fallacies. It's like you're just trying to find that one person. Hey, God, I want to be a blessing to somebody. I'm not looking for it. I've got God. But, man, if you don't do that, and man, when I was in high school, we did the same thing. We all got out of high school. We got out of the Army. We got married. That's what you did. You had four basic things in life. Get out of school, get out of the Army, get married, wait till you die. I had three of them taken care of by the time I was 22. I pretty much got my life together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just waiting till I die. And so you realize then all of a sudden the marriage goes south. You start yelling at each other and hollering. You think, well, I married the wrong person. I married too early. I married on the rebound. I married too late. No, you married the exact opposite. When God brought Eve into Adam's life, she was his absolute exact opposite. 180 degrees different. Different sex, different thinking, different about everything. I'm telling you, it's just, who are you? Well, I'm your opposite. And so opposites attract. Now, when I was an engineer, I said, when we do the gearboxes, opposites attract. And so what we love, you know, just hearing your story and seeing it, people that have been through it, made the mistakes, see that, man, you're doing this right, son. This is the way it ought to be done. You are setting the standard. So we're excited for you.
We are excited. And thank God that you're in a healthy spot because you're going to marry, well, Mary, I'm going getting ahead of you. You're in a relationship.
Go ahead. Ding dong, ding dong.
My name does mean heavenly messenger, hey, just so you know. But in a relationship where she's in a different culture, there is a little bit of a language barrier, not what you thought there may be. But so, I mean, there's so many questions that surround that. I mean, how are you facing that?
Well, I think the main thing is realizing that a lot of the things that seem like they're big challenges, they're temporary. So realizing, yes, the language thing is an issue. Yes, her being somewhere else is an issue. But those are all things that can change. The things that won't change, her heart. The things that she's passionate about. Those are things that no matter what it looks like right now, those things are never going to change. And so keeping your attention focused on those things is important. So for me, it's that. And then also just realizing that when you find someone who is right for you, they make you a better person in terms of the way that you think. Your thinking does elevate a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm realizing, you know, with that, when I'm speaking to her and things like that, my thinking is elevated to a different level. So
that's good.
Yeah, Josh, if you could put it in a list, you were teaching, you know, younger men, say, hey, man, how'd you find somebody? If you say, hey, you need to look for like these three things. If you're looking for a spouse, especially talking to younger men, you ought to look for these three things. This ought to be a no-brainer. These three have to be there. Everything else is kind of, you know, can come and go somewhere. But what three things are just they're not optional? What would you list three things for a spouse?
I would think, first of all, they have to have love for people. Because that matters more than anything.
That's huge.
Love for people. Because if they can't love other people, if they're always complaining about other people, always finding faults in other people, eventually that's going to turn on you.
Yes, it is.
And
that's
so
good.
If they have love for other people, then you can be confident that they're going to love you too. And then so just seeing the way that they interact with their family.
Do they
love their family? Do they love their friends? How do they treat them whenever they're behind their backs? Those kind of things. Seeing that. And then another thing is just being genuine. Just being honest, just being true, being open.
Comfortable with themselves. They're just telling the truth.
Just completely accepted who they are. Even the parts of them that they don't necessarily like, they're okay with because they've accepted who they are.
Right.
And then, I mean, I don't know that I have a third thing, but just really the love and genuineness.
Yeah.
That is huge.
That's very, very huge.
And I think, too, another thing would even be just someone who, when they read their Bible, they're reading it for them. And what I mean by that is they're not reading their Bible. Ephesians 5, you see Paul talking about what a husband and a wife should be. The person you're with, when they're reading their Bible, they shouldn't be reading the husband part if it's a woman and then stacking you up against that.
Ooh.
If it's a husband, you shouldn't be reading the wife part and stacking your wife against that. You should be reading, as a husband, you need to read the man part. As the woman, you need to read the woman part. And
that's
you
good.
Need to take responsibility for that and let the other person worry, because that's between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
You can only control what you can control. So as a husband, I don't need to be looking at wife, you need to submit to your husband and be pointing that out to her. I need to focus on the part that I need to love her as Christ loves the church. And as I focus on those things, then her response is going to be to respect me. It's going to be to submit to what I'm saying because she knows that I have her best interests at heart.
Oh, that's good.
Josh, would you, there's a lot of people listening, and some of them are probably where you were several months ago. They're looking for a relationship, but maybe they're not in a place where they feel like they're whole. So would you just take a minute and give some encouragement to people that are in similar situations on how to get from here to there?
Yeah, and I think the whole part about wholeness, it comes from the fact of knowing that God actually loves you. And he doesn't just love the whole world, but he personally loves you. Says if there was 99 sheep, he would leave those to find the one that was lost. And to realize, you know, I heard John 3:16 growing up my whole life, God so loves the world, but I never embraced it for myself. I never really heard it, God so loved me. So if I was the only one that ever sinned or ever had fallen short, he would have still sent Jesus just for me. And so I think you have to embrace that because there's two commandments Jesus gave. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But if I don't love myself, I can't love my neighbor. And so I've got to be able to, you know, really to become a whole person, you have to be able to receive the love of God for yourself. And that means without anybody else there, without people giving you praise, recognition, you know, honor, you're able to say, you know what, God, you love me. You chose me before the foundations of the earth. And I think that if you can settle that in your heart, then that's going to bring you to a place of wholeness.
Yeah.
If you're waking up every day and you're looking at your fractures, you're looking at your shortcomings, and every time you talk to somebody, it's about what's going on and what's wrong, then you're not a whole person. And the only way to step away from that is to start speaking the truth over yourself and to start really believing what God says about
That's
you.
Good. That's good.
That's the only way to do it. And so my encouragement to anybody is to go find some scriptures about how God loves you and really believe them for yourself and not just for other people. It's easy for us to pray for other people, to tell people we love them, but it's not always the easiest to tell ourselves God loves me.
That's good.
Yeah. And so I think that that's the first step. You have to start there. And then once you do, you'll love yourself. Then you can love your neighbor and you can love God.
Yeah. Now, I know you said in the beginning you were going to Brazil for 3 months, and is there like a ring involved in that 3 months?
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. We're going all over the country. We're live all over America.
I'm kidding. You don't have to answer that question. He's like my son, so I have to tease him. Yeah. So, well, Josh, we are thrilled. Well,
very
first of all,
excited
that you're part of this ministry,
yes,
our family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we love what you're doing. You teach at Healing School at Raymond. What days do you teach?
We teach Monday through Friday. It's about an hour long, starts at 9:30. And so people come from all over the world who are dealing with some type of sickness, and they just need some. They just need to surround themselves in an environment of faith. And so during the week, we teach them in a class, but we also do one-on-one ministry with them as well. So,
outstanding.
Yeah, so we're actually, you know, able to dive in and figure out what they're thinking about, what's, you know, how we can adjust the way they're thinking and things like that. So it really, if you have any problem, it all starts with your thinking.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're aiming to adjust.
And if you're a pastor and you're listening and you're looking for a young preacher that's got fire in his bones,
yes,
well, you just write us here at mail@joemcgeeministries.com and
yes,
do attention Josh, and we will make sure.
I won't tell you no, I promise you that.
Absolutely not. So thanks so much, Josh, for joining us today. We will have Josh again on periodically.
Yes. Updates. We'll have updates for you.
Yes. Good, yes. 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 Coming in live from Brazil.
Yes.
We excited. Love you. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Being a part
Thank
of
you,
this
Josh.
Today.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.